Good morning. Thank you, Don, for those songs. Have a couple of announcements. Want to emphasize, Daryl mentioned it in the opening announcements, but a week from Thursday, on February 4th, we are meeting and bagging the lunches again for the group serving our kids. There's a sign-up sheet back on the bulletin board. If you're interested in doing that, be sure and sign up. So I think we're limited on how many we can take down there. And if you have any questions, see Sean about that. Also, Glenda Vance has identified that she wants to work and worship with us here at South Valley, and we welcome her. She's been with us for quite a while now, and we welcome her to our family here at South Valley. Also, Shannon has mentioned that a co-worker of hers, Ernie, she requests prayers for him. He has COVID and went to the hospital yesterday because he also now has pneumonia. And so let's go on behalf of Shannon's co-worker and friend, Ernie. Don't even know if he knows we're praying for him or not, but it will be good for him. Let's bow in prayer and go to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, so thankful that we have prayer, so thankful for all the spiritual blessings you give us. Dear God, we take opportunity right now to thank you for everything in our lives that you've blessed us with, and we ask that you be with Shannon's friend Ernie, who is sick with pneumonia, sick with COVID. Our desire is that the doctors will be able to treat him and that he will make a full recovery. Dear God, we hope that there is some way that he will know that Christians care about him and are going to him in prayer, going to you in prayer on his behalf. Dear God, we hope that maybe that can influence him, that at least it would cheer him up and maybe even inspire him to seek after you. Dear God, we ask that you be with us. Please forgive us for the things we do wrong. Be with our lesson today, and we hope everything we've done in this worship service to you has been done in spirit and in truth. Again, we thank you and we pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. Love old movies, and at the end of Casablanca, the police investigator, you know, makes the famous, you know, line, you know, round up the usual suspects. Well, in a lot of the crime movies, those usual suspects, you know, whether it be movies or TV shows, or even in real life, those usual suspects are kind of the first ones you look for. But, you know, I tell you, Stacy's always watching those crime dramas, and I know Don loves them too, but there's a lot of times unusual suspects, people that you never would think of, wind up doing the crime. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking in the Bible about there's so many unusual suspects that wind up being servants of God. And one of them is Saul, who later was named Paul. When we think of Paul the Apostle, he wrote 13 books in the New Testament. He went on 4 major missionary journeys, spreading the word of God, established a gazillion congregations everywhere that he went. He taught, not only taught, you know, that's important. And this might be a lesson someday. Not only did he teach the word of God to people, but he mentored people. And And the mentoring is so much more important because it includes teaching. And I'm not saying anything about negative about teaching. Not just anybody can do it, but most people can teach, should be able to teach, even if it's teaching what they know. But mentoring takes it a step further. And you're sharing your life. And that's what Paul did. He went through umpteen different disasters in life. He was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, imprisoned numerous times, and eventually was martyred for the cause of Christ. He wound up not only giving his life, but as we see, he wound up living his life for Christ. But it always wasn't like that. Years earlier, when he was Saul, who would have thought that this man would have wound up serving God and Christ the way he did? He was a Pharisee. He studied under a tremendous teacher, an expert known, I think he was known as the beauty of the law, Gamaliel. Saul was very zealous and very passionate in his early life. We're going to see that personality never changed. It just, he shifted direction. In Acts 7, starting in verse 57, these are just some of the scriptures that give us some insight into the Pharisee Saul. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him, talking about Stephen, who had been preaching that this man, Jesus, you crucified, was the Savior. And they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And going into Acts 8, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And we're going to see that Paul was at the center of that persecution. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And in Acts 9, in verse 1, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. This is what Saul was doing. There's a missionary, a preacher that's up in Canada, Stéphane Mallet, that we have some contact with. And he posted a thing on Facebook today, how their worship was shut down. The police came in and shut their worship down. Don't know why. Don't know if it was maybe something to do with COVID, you know, numbers or safety measures, not allowing to meet or whatever. Don't know if it was as is rising in this country today. Hate speech. Using the Bible as hate speech. Condemning sin. That's unloving. Makes people uncomfortable. It's already starting. But it's nothing new. It was going on back then, and Saul was one of the ringleaders. Saul was dragging men and women off to prison for their beliefs. In Acts 22, we see he is already Saul at this time, but he's recounting in a sermon his past life. And he's reminding them what he had done. And he says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you are all today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there in Jerusalem to be punished." This is who we're talking about. In Acts 26, he's also recounting his early life. And he says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know well. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." And skipping to verse 9, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." There is no doubt he was zealous. He thought he had to do these things. He was doing it with full gusto. He continues, "This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." We're seeing, we know what Paul is like. We tend to forget this side of his life. In Galatians 1, verse 3, he says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." He did his best. He gave it the old college try. He was unsuccessful because Jesus said, you know, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. The actions of a man, Paul, is not going to be able to succeed in that. But this is the man, Saul, what he was like, things he had done, and then something occurred in his life. He was baptized, never changed his personality. He was still zealous. He was still passionate about the things he did. He just changed directions, still doing things that he thought he must do to serve God. But he was enlightened. There on the road to Damascus, when he when he was blinded and then later received vision, he not only received his sight, he received vision. In Acts 9, verse 20, it says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. What a change! Could you imagine being one of those that had seen what he had done, and now you're seeing him preach the gospel? You're like, who's this guy? In 1 Corinthians, we've looked at this verse numerous times in different lessons. Starting in verse 9, Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. He's laying it out in black and white. And such were some of you. This crowd he's talking to, this crowd he's writing to, and some were such a, were like you. You used to be like that. I used to be like that. Paul gets it. It's not like he was white as pure as the driven snow. His past life was one of shame. But he cast that off. And he's living his life to serve God now. And he says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you used to be like that. He goes on to say, but you were washed. I was washed. But you were sanctified. I was sanctified. But you were justified. I had been justified, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In Acts 26, he's talking with Agrippa, and he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. When on the road to Damascus, and he meets Jesus, and Jesus tells him what to do, he's telling him, I was not disobedient to it. He was obedient. He did the things that Christ told him to do, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. The two big keys in Paul's life was he was baptized, and then he repented. He did not do those things anymore. Had Paul been baptized and continued to go after the church and persecute the church, he'd have still been lost. But Paul got it. And he's telling others, some of you had sin in your life. Well, we all had sin in our lives. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Just like I was. And he tells people all the things that he had done. They knew the things he had done. It was well recorded. But he could go on to be Paul. He didn't have to stay Saul. He didn't have to carry that baggage with him of the things that he did. I tell you, that's a lot to overcome. Knowing that you were responsible for the death of Christians, You're preaching to people that you might have killed their parents? That you might have been responsible for dragging them off to jail? And now you're preaching to people? That could have been enough to have paralyzed Paul from ever serving God. How can I serve God after I've done those things? He was baptized and he repented. The same thing he's urging other people to do. To be baptized. To repent of the sin in your life. Saul later was called Paul. A very unlikely suspect, but became a great servant of God. Are we any different? There are things in our lives that we've done that we might be ashamed of. Things that were obviously sin in our lives. But just like Paul, we were baptized. And so many people in the religious world see baptism as kind of the end result. Kind of like you've slid into third and you're safe. You know? Baptism is the beginning, not the end. Not only was Paul baptized, but he preached, after you're baptized, do works befitting repentance. Show that you are, he told the Colossians, have a walk worthy of the call of the gospel. We are like that. Even today, 2,000 years later, the message is the same. Paul did not let the shackles of his past life hinder him. He cast them off, he repented, and then he did works befitting repentance. And he was able to go on and serve God, teach others, and bring others to Christ. And he never looked back. Still passionate, still zealous, just in a different direction. I hope you've been able to make some connections to your life, our lives. We find some unlikely suspects. Many of us are some unlikely suspects. I know I am. There's times in my life that if people would, you know, what are you doing now? I'm preaching. Just a second. Tell me that again. Yeah. I'm preaching. Wow. But we can't let our past, the sin in our life, the shame in our life, the feeling of hypocrisy in our life hinder us and shackle us from being able to fully serving God. If you need to respond to the invitation is always there. It's not just at the end of a lesson. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, I urge not to wait on that one. If you need to repent and do works and befitting repentance, make those steps now. Don't wait. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.